Hello, Anissa and Margarita. It's a great pleasure for me to interview you today. And for our readership, I'd like to say that Margarita Osipian and Alisa Timoshkina are the two organizers of the London Recent Festival on Digital Performances that we will talk about later on. But before then, I wonder if you can talk a little bit about the company that you represent.
Of course. Thank you, Vlad. It's a pleasure to talk to you too. And our company was started several years ago by myself and my partner Margarita, and as we both come from Russia, we called our company Glaz, which for those who know Russian means eye, and that name was chosen specifically to reflect upon the nature of our activity, to signify vision and our relation to visual culture. So our company kind of originated from the idea of a moving image and how it can be implemented and how it travels across different art forms from cinema to performance arts. And to this date we have organized and curated several festivals and events which are focused on cinema specifically, but the aim of the company is to expand more to interdisciplinary and multimedia project. So in that respect, Digital Stages, our new festival, is kind of the most emblematic of the very intention that our company has.
Thanks, Alisa. I'm turning to Rita now, and I wonder if you can talk a little bit about one of the projects that Glaz has organized, please.
Yes, thank you, Vlad, as well. Well, probably the biggest and the most successful project to the date was Sergei Prajanov Festival that happened last year during 3 months in London and Bristol. And it consisted of a retrospective of his films, including like very unique films that have not been shown in the UK before, and BFI together with us managed to get the print, but also a multimedia exhibition of photographic works of the master by a Georgian artist, and some other events and talks, including the conference again at BFI that gathered lots of experts on Prajanov and discussed his heritage and the influence of his art and film onto the just in general the world cinema and perhaps artists as well. We organized it together with Leila Alexander Garrett and in conjunction with BFI, who co-curated the film season, which apparently was the most successful and the best-sold film season, 2009-2010. Well, this is apart from the London Festival, of course, but I mean, in terms of film seasons, that was, mm-hmm. was very good. We managed to basically, get Prajanov work out to those who were not familiar, because he was well known, of course, but among a limited number of people, and it just became really successful, and we're really pleased with
That's
the
great.
Outcomes.
That's super. So I understand that the company has a Russian name, and one of the events you organized dealt with a director that worked in the Soviet Union. So I'm curious whether the mission of your company is to promote Russian culture in the West, or do you have any other visions for it?
I think it's more to do with the marriage between different cultures and how kind of being inspired by London's very vibrant and multicultural nature, we kind of wanted to draw on our own cultural heritage to explore it, to kind of recontextualize it, and to explore it in a London scene, but also to kind of start making bridges between different cultures and kind of seeing London as their meeting point. So there is no specific aim to kind of dive into the exploration of Russian culture and dedicate our work to that specifically, but rather to explore the interchanges and kind of build bridges between different arts forms and cultural expressions.
Super. So I believe that the most recent event, the Digital Stages Festival that you organized in April 2011, was the project in which you moved further away from the context of that sort of part of the world where you happen to be from.
Yes, definitely, because the idea is basically to expand, you know, because we want to involve other cultures and other nationalities, but also because we are moving towards fusion in terms of the mediums that we work with. So, you know, it's like performance, film, well, maybe architecture in the future, culture. So it's, you know, it's like the art making, it becomes like, you know, the fusion. So it's the expression and the visions that you have, they are possible through different mediums and how you combine them.
Mm. Well, the full title of the festival is Digital Stages, Exploring Technology in Performing Arts. So how many of those performing arts did you manage to cover? I mean, it was a big festival and it sort of went along different strands of arts and media. So maybe this is where we can start our conversation by looking at sort of what forms of art you looked at and how digital technology helped you to redefine and kind of rethink how we understand art in general.
Well, the kind of the simpler part of this question would be to say that we had basically, I guess, two main performing art forms, which is theatre and dance. But then within those we had...
And each of them is kind of cross-media form by its nature, yeah.
And then within each of those, the performance, it cannot really clear, kind of categorize each of them, because there is always a kind of cross between different art forms within this sphere. But so we had dance and theatre, but theatre was kind of participatory theatre and interactive, so... Kind of
installation based
theatre pieces, and yeah, so basically those were the kind of two main strands that we had.
Did you have any sort of like singing performances, or were they kind of part of what you had?
Oh, well, we had well, again, like they were very
digital opera.
Yeah, well, there was no,
that would be my dream.
Digital opera as such, but I mean the theatrical performances that we had involved kind of physical theatre and dance and singing, so it was quite a patchwork of different art forms under one, kind of under the roof of, under the umbrella of one performance.
No, I mean, we could, you know, we could bring in the digital opera, of course, but there are constraints that we had to face when we're putting this pilot festival. Because well, first of all, it's financially it's quite difficult, and it was quite difficult during this particular period of time to gather all the budget. But also because technology, I mean, it seems that if you use technology, you don't need much, you know, to create something. But at the same time, it's quite demanding in terms of finances again. So you can't bring, you can't program the pieces that are amazing or that you would want to bring because of these constraints. Mm. Because they're too complicated. I mean, they look as they're really simple, but behind it is like the whole...
And did you do it together? Did you have a team of people that you worked with?
Well, we had a rather small team of people that came together to create this festival. I think it's possible to divide it in kind of two groups. One would be the kind of the creative core who came up with the concept, the title, and devised the program. And then obviously, once the festival dates came closer, we had another set of people who helped us to actually kind of execute the program that we have planned. So in the first section of the group, we had a co-curator who closely worked with Margarita to research and to form the program of Digital Stages Festival, and Kate Sikil, who is a practitioner and a lecturer at dance at Lincoln University. and also as our consultant who kind of overlooked the whole kind of conceptual part of this festival, we had Sarah Rubich, who kind of supported us, not from the very beginning, but quite early on.
Yeah, she joined us later, but yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, if we look at the structure of the festival, I can see that, first of all, it involved not only performances, but also workshops and what I would call academic presentations. And the other interesting thing about your festival, which makes it quite unusual, is the fact that it happened in different places in London. So I wonder if we can talk about those two things, but sort of one by one, if that's okay. So what's your kind of idea for having performers coming to London from all over the world, but also doing those academic presentations and workshops? What is the rationale for that?
Well, the idea was because, you know, in digital world, there are quite a lot of conferences and perhaps festivals that explore this. But it's usually they're either academic-based or practice-based. And most of them are actually dance and technology oriented. So the idea was to bring it all together, to explore the theory side and the practice side and across performing arts, and just to really create a platform for exchange, you know, artistically, academically, and also just, you know, raise a debate, really. And try and take it out into the masses, because not that many people are aware that, you know, digital performance exists as such, you know, as a notion. But also because we feel that digital performance is something that can attract audiences that are never interested in performing arts, but are interested in technology, because we all are to a certain extent, right, using it every day. And this is like the, you know, the hook, mm-hmm. which can bring them in, because they can see, ooh, you know, theater is not what we thought about it. It can be interesting, can be fun, and it is modern in the way that it is. Yeah, it's sort of layered in technology. So that was, you know, so that was another idea.
And those workshops, I believe they were attended by general public or specialists, or actually artists who are based in London.
These particular ones are for either general public or for artists who wish to explore how to work with technologies. I mean, the ones that never tried it but heard of it and mm-hmm. probably are ready to step in. So they were more basic, and the types of technology, of course, were quite interesting, but they were.
Margarita, could you tell us more about what kind of people took part in the practical workshops that you organized as part of the festival?
Well, we devised a series of the workshops that represented different technology and what you could do with them. And they basically were aimed at a general public who would wish to see and try what are these technologies and how you can apply them creatively. But also for the artists who've never used technologies but heard of them and are ready to basically step in and try and expand their expressive tools, so to say. So they were quite basic in terms of technology background, I suppose. There were quite a lot of people that came from different industries, actually. So mm-hmm. dancers and media people, I think architects and designers. So it's like it was really interesting.
You know, I wouldn't want to be one of those teachers or trainers, because you wouldn't know sort of what kind of people you're actually working with, so that must be a challenge, but also exciting.
It probably was a challenge, but in a way, I mean, most of them are so experienced now, you know, they've been giving these workshops for years because they are sort of.
So who did you have as trainers or experts? I'm kind of looking for a word to define them.
Yes, we had Mark Coniglio, who is a co-founder and artistic director of Troika Range. which is an American dance company, and they are pioneers in dance and technology. And he's also the creator of Isadora, which Troy Grange uses a lot, but not only them, because in fact this software has been used by a number of dance companies around the world in the past 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
So he's really, like, you know, at the basis of it. And he's very charismatic teacher as well. I mean, that, you know, the scope, and well, the framework, the scope, and how he presents it, absolutely amazing. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you have any technological background or not. It's just really fascinating, straight in.
Sounds great.
Did
you have anybody else who was one of the trainers?
Yes, and we had another workshop by a very established engineer in the arts called Frieder Weiss from Germany, and he is the creator of two software programs called Icon and Calypso, which also are widely used in different forms of performance, from dance to music videos
to circus,
and opera. I mean, it's just kind of any kind of as wider application to performance as you can possibly imagine. And kind of adding to your question, that, you know, not knowing what kind of people they were faced with when starting the workshop, they kind of did a very general, very open presentation, kind of telling people about their own work, their own background, so guiding people from the very beginning, the very origins of their own ideas, and how they started developing the very kind of primitive software in kind of early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So gradually you start to kind of travel this whole way with them, and even if you have no idea how to kind of use the tools and stuff, they kind of carefully guide you and really fascinate you by this, and by the end of the workshop you feel like you've actually learned quite a lot and kind of feel more opened and more enthusiastic about trying something else. And
Brilliant. Okay, well, how about if we go back to the other part of my question, which had to do with the location of the festival. And so just to kind of reiterate my thought, that the festival took place in a number of locations in East London. And I wonder, I mean, I understand that it was to a large extent based on the funding and other kind of arrangements you could have, but sort of strategically, how did you see this festival happening in London? Why did you choose East London as an appropriate place for this festival to happen?
Well, we felt that East London has kind of the right energy and the right vibe that we kind of felt comfortable in working in, and so basically that's kind of a very kind of obviously general idea, that this is the place where we are based and this is the place that we can relate to as kind of in our individual and professional lives. And in another way was also the idea that it's a very kind of rapidly developing area of London, both, you know, creatively and kind of architecturally and socially. So we felt that kind of starting a young festival, which was its pilot edition this year, to start it in the area which is also kind of just developing and changing, we felt that if we kind of manage to integrate ourselves into this process, then the festival will become a kind of natural part of this area and it will kind of continue to develop together with it.
Yes, but also some of our programs, performances, they required more flexible spaces because they're not usually, you know, sort of standard performances and the site-specific things. And East London is really amazing in this regard. There's lots of, you know, places that you can pick. I mean, it's easier to do in East London than in Central London, where everything is already restricted and niched and, you know, taken. And so, yeah, that was, you know, just
an addition to experiment and to unorthodox project, like we hope to have created.
Okay, well, that's brilliant. And it really is amazing to go to events that happen in this part of London. That's always very exciting. although sometimes hard to reach. I wonder if we can talk about something that might sound traditional, but still is very important to me and I hope to our readers, which is that if you could sort of try to pick up a few or several key themes or key ideas that came out as a result of this festival, if any at all.
Well, I think the aim of the festival was to present a showcase of both the physical performance but also the kind of intellectual implementations that this relationship between performance and technology can have. So we had a kind of series of different talks which, for the wider audiences who might not have necessarily had any encounters with this kind of relationship of arts and technology, just for them to know what's possible between, you know, what are the possibilities of this interaction and what are the ways of looking at it. So this is kind of just a general idea, but also we had obviously very well established academics and practitioners, all kind of both in one person, like Sarah Rubich, for example, who spoke more specifically about kind of their own visions and ideas of where kind of technology and performing arts are going. And I think kind of one of the main strands that I, at least for myself, kind of extracted was that sometimes it's quite easy to kind of treat the technology aspect of the performance as the kind of a gadget that creates a rather spectacular experience and just kind of enhances the already existing kind of message or kind of context. But I think what some of the practitioners or theoreticians were trying to say, for example, Mark or Sarah was saying that we should engage with technology as an equal kind of parts of this equation, and to try and challenge, kind of to allow the technology challenge our performance, not just kind of to act as one of the, you know, as one of the parts or as a decor at the background, just a backdrop on which you project something, but rather to allow the technology intervene and allow it to transform our understanding of choreography or musical score or, mm-hmm. you know, any other tools that we're so used to work with. That so I think for me that was really interesting that, for example, Mark Coniglio in his talk talked about their most recent absolutely stunning piece called Loop Diver, where they took kind of technology as the starting point for their choreography, and it was the technology that dictated their ideas and dictated how the dancers should perform, and this apparently has never been done before. So this is something that really kind of fascinated me, which was quite new to me as well. So I think, like, if I were to present a highlight
mm-hmm.
in terms of the kind of intellectual or kind of academic mm-hmm. concepts that arose from this festival, that would be that.
That'd be the one. Yep. Yeah. Excellent. Thank you, Alisa. And Marguerite, anything from you?
Well, yes. The thing is, we formed the program in the way that it represents the different strands of performing arts and different technologies and the complexity of technologies that are used in performances, because some of the pieces had quite complicated technological use, and some of them like were really basic, you know, like the use of pervasive media just really again as a backdrop. But the thing is, it doesn't matter how you use technology, in what way and how complex, if it is integrated into the performance and it's there to emphasize something and it does it, and you know, and it just gets into straight to the point without epatoging or, you know, just being there because it's there, then it doesn't matter whether it doesn't matter the relationship between technology and the performance. It sort of, it disappears because it just becomes a unity. It's just mm-hmm. there, you know, it just becomes the part of a expressive process in the result.
I'd like to ask you kind of a quite specific question, mm-hmm. and which is whether there were any performances that used networked media that, for example, were hooked up on the internet or used mobile phones or Twitter, and that would be part of a performance or a play or whatever they showed. So I wonder if you can kind of think of anything that you had, and if you could talk more about that, please.
Well, we had a mobile workshop, which is a bit different. Mm-hmm. But Hotel Midea, the piece, it's not the piece, it's like quite a big performance done by UK-Brazilian theatre company Zikora Ura and Paraactive. They had the use of pervasive media and quite a lot of networking, but it wasn't interactive. At least it wasn't interactive straight away, because they were collecting in the course of the performance. They were collecting the of footages of the audiences who at that point became performers as well, and of actors as well, that they feed into the cameras and then translate it into Facebook. But that was a delayed mm-hmm. process. That wasn't, you know, a direct networking sort of live interactive mm-hmm. element during the performance. It was an attempt, I would say. So as such, we in this program we didn't have performances that used networking.
The reason I asked is of course of kind of just curiosity and trying to learn how that part of digital technologies was used in your festival, but also kind of trying to get to know whether the festival had any online presence, whether it had anything like streamlined video. Or anything that would be sort of, or let me put it this way, that it sounds to me like the way you describe your festival is as if digital technologies came to the theatre, they came to a dance hall, they came to an opera house, mm-hmm. and I'm wondering if any of those are going sort of back to the realm of digital technologies, whether they're going online, whether they're kind of changing the way technology works.
Well, that's a very interesting point to make, but I think unfortunately kind of the content and the intention of the festival was not properly kind of represented in the form, you know, the online presence of the festival. Obviously we had the website with various types of media there, but there was nothing kind of extraordinary about that. Any website of a festival or any kind of season would have that. So I think that's something we'd want to bear in mind for the future, and of course try to kind of, you know, do this whole kind of complete circle of technology, mm-hmm. travelling all the way around and kind of coming back to the audiences as well as, you know, through live performances, but also through the online presence. So I think
that was the intention,
yeah, but due to some reasons we were unable to, you know, to implement.
Well, it's a very complex thing to do. Yeah, yes. I'm sure it came up in discussions. Am I right in thinking that in many ways the festival was historical, by which I mean that it didn't look into the history of the use of digital technologies, but rather try to see where these arts can go in the future, mm. and what the role of this.
It was both in a way. Because,
was it?
Yes, because we had some talks that actually depicted on the history of theatre in particular, and the use of technology, because these two things, you know, have been going together for quite a long time. So yes, we tried actually to start with why digital technology and performing arts, when did it start, what's happening, why is it happening, why do you use this at all, and where it's going. So it's, yeah, this basic scope.
Cool. Margarita and Elisa, the theme of this issue of digital icons is actually transmedial practices, and I'm wondering if you could elaborate a little bit on whether you found any examples of such at your digital festivals. You talked about the use of digital technologies in performing arts convergence, but I'm wondering whether you could sense that the artists are moving beyond that and looking not at, at established forms of art and the way they engage with technologies, but rather creating new phenomena that we can define as transmedial or something that doesn't fall into the kind of established categories of art. I understand that couldn't necessarily be a kind of a theme of your festival, mm-hmm. but I'm just sort of interested in your perception.
But I think, in a way, Alisa started to speak about it in regard to Troika's range piece, Loop Diver, because I think this could be a probably example of transmediality. As basically, because the dancers throughout the performance, they become this technology, you know, because they act as technology. It's all about loop diving. It's also all about the loops that machines and computers work in, and the way the piece was built, it was coming from technology, not from artist. Mm-hmm. point of view. So the technology was dictating the rules, I don't know, and the moods perhaps.
But it sounds a bit robotic to me, that is, that the human becomes a kind extension of the machine.
It becomes an extension of the machine, but at the same time, I mean, you can see it's live, it's still human. I mean, it's this weird combination of it, this duality,
mm-hmm.
you know, technology and...
So it's not kind of like transmedial, it's more kind of transhuman.
Transhuman, maybe.
Technological, mm-hmm. if you wish. Working at the boundary between the human and the non-human. Oh, that sounds very exciting. I think I'd like to do one of those pieces myself. Okay, well, coming to an end of our interview, I wonder if you could let us know more about sort of the reaction of the people. What sort of feedback did you get? And how do you see all of this going on in the future?
Well, I think it's wouldn't be too modest to say that we had a really positive feedback, and we are very pleased with the reactions of both the audiences and those who participated as performers or as speakers at our talks. So I think we've managed to kind of build this kind of sphere, new sector for people to meet and to talk about this particular kind of field of arts and technology and kind of just culture in general, I guess. And I guess it was the general audiences, the kind of people who are actively involved in producing this kind of events, and also people, curators and kind of people who stand on kind of colleagues, I would say our colleagues, were also very kind of fascinated and very inspired to get in touch with us and maybe to see how we can work together and kind of establish collaboration with various dance and dance festivals or dance companies and theatre companies that would want to be either part of digital stages or kind of produce kind of a third product together.
Right.
So I think in that sense it's not only kind of the feedback of just knowing that you have kind of inspired and fascinated your general audiences, but also the fact that you kind of provided a creative and professional kind of platform for starting something new. So that's very good for us.
And do you think that the festival will move on beyond the boundaries of London, or is it really kind of a London-based project? I'm pushing this to see how much of it is sort of really the atmosphere of London. Mm. And whether you can actually kind of transfer it to make it more transferable and transmedial and maybe organize it in a different place.
Well, definitely the idea is to kind of push the boundaries. And I think for now what we would want to expand on is the very idea of stage. So not to kind of use stage as the immediate performance stage, as a theatre or a dance stage, but kind of expand it and move out to kind of spaces rather than stages, and to try to interact with social spaces and kind of London environments that are more open to public. So we'd want to introduce kind of large-scale architectural pieces into this practices, and also kind of basically explore social spaces of London and kind of continue to move out into the city more. So that would be kind of the first step of progressing. And of course, I think, you know, as amazing as London is, it would be very exciting to try and see how this concept can translate into other cultures and to kind of, ideally to see how truly kind of international or even national-less is this whole idea of digital cultures.
And digital transnational.
Transnational, yes. So I think it would be fantastic to see how far we can travel with our festival. Cool.
And shall we look forward to another festival in the near future?
Yes, definitely. we're thinking of making it biannual, so the next edition we're planning for spring 2013. But in between, of course, we're not going to disappear, and we're aiming to produce just smaller events in London, or perhaps in other capitals in Europe, who knows, maybe in Berlin, that would keep the debate going and, you know, just attract more interest and develop this further. This is what we're going to work on next. And also, for the next edition, probably, we would go even beyond and try to attract curatorial partners. So that, for example, each strand of the performing arts, dance theatre, installation art, and live art, are curated by our partners. For example, dancers by Dance Digital, and then Glass curates galas and sort of special programs, and concentrated on more workshop educational thing. But this is all, you know, these are the ideas, so we'll see how, you know, how we're going to shape them eventually.
They sound absolutely amazing, especially taking into account that it's just a few days since you finished work on this festival. And so I'm really grateful for you for coming over to speak to me, and I understand you're still a little bit tired, but I wish you good luck in the future, and I hope you will kind of re-energize your team, and we'll have another festival very soon. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.